This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Wells Tech Podcast. It's Tuesday at 4 p.m. Central, and that must mean it's time for another live show. Tuesday, March 25th, we're tackling episode 334. My name is Sally Draper, and I am the Wells Technology Trainer and co-host of the Wells Tech Podcast. And you might notice that I am doing a solo act today. That's because my friend, co-host, fearless leader, Martin Spriggs, Wells Chief Technology Officer, is getting in some much-needed vacation time. He's actually soaking up some sunshine, I believe, down in Florida. You know, I was thinking about that. I got out my phone to check how much he's enjoying his time down there. And as you can see, it's 21 degrees here in New Ulm, Minnesota, where I'm located. And my phone weather app says it's 74 down in Orlando. So enjoy those 53 degrees difference that we are today, Martin, because I know that you'll be back soon enough to the Great White North, and hopefully you'll bring some springtime along with you. So fortunately, though, you're not stuck with just me doing a solo act today, because our friend and semi-regular education correspondent Jason Schmidt was able to do some pre-recording with me. So he and I got together and talked a little bit about Minecraft and how you might use this very popular video game in an educational type setting. So Jason's got some hands-on experience with just that topic, and so let's go ahead and dive in and learn a little bit about Minecraft. So joining me is Jason Schmidt. I know everybody's excited, Jason, because you always bring so much sunshine to our Wells Tech Podcast. Jason is joining us from Omaha, Nebraska, and we're going to talk about a fun topic today, Jason.
Hey, you know, and how can the sun not be shining when you're talking about Minecraft, right?
There you go.
All it takes is just got to dig a little bit into the ground, and then it just radiates happiness. So I'm super excited to be talking about this today.
Surprise, surprise, Jason's excited. You know, Jason, I'm excited too, because I have a family full of people that just love Minecraft. I think the open-ended nature of it's never the same every time you play, makes it a real fun experience for my boys. It's not something I've experienced, though, so I'm hoping you can bring us all up to speed together on what it is that Minecraft can do for us. And in particular, we want to focus on how you can use it as an educational tool, of all things. So.
Well, and you know, that's kind of we're talking about some things. This is really cutting edge. The way that Minecraft is being used in an educational setting, and the game itself is maybe only about 3 years old, and it didn't take too long for education to catch on with this. You know, it's a bunch of other games. You kind of question the educational value, but because of the way that Minecraft is put together and what it consists of, it's just amazing the kind of potential that you have with a tool like this at your disposal. So, you know, I guess we could probably start with just, you know, what is it? Sally, I'm kind of interested to hear what your perspective is on Minecraft, just, you know, from what you've witnessed and what you've seen kind of with what your boys do. What would you say Minecraft is from your perspective?
Yeah, I guess the best way I would describe it to someone, at least from what I see, is it looks like they're building with Lego blocks. It's very block-based. There's different kinds of blocks that do different things, but they pretty much can connect them together and build what they want, just like they were building a Lego model. Am I off base on that?
No, you're right on, and that's probably the best way that I can think of to describe it. You know, you kind of even can take it a step further than that and say, you know, you find these blocks in these materials, and then there's, you know, that's the mine part, but then the craft part of the title is really about taking those materials and combining them into something else. So, you know, you can find blocks of stone and use that to build a furnace, and then use the furnace to melt iron ore into iron ingots, and then, you know, use those materials to kind of graduate yourself, I guess, to make additional materials. So, but yeah, you know, that whole concept of just blocks and putting blocks together and building structures and making items is really what the game is all about. And just like Legos, there's really no object. Which is really, that's where the value and the benefit for education comes in. You know, we talk about lessons that somebody has developed, you know, where you're talking about decimals. It's versatile enough that you can use this as a tool to talk about decimals. You can use this, I saw a video where a guy made an illustration about this is pi, and here's how we calculate pi, and you know, and built a model of pi and what it looks like in Minecraft and what it looks like in real life and how they're different, and you know, all of this stuff, and you know, and just amazing the things that you can do with this. You know, there's science applications, there's math, you can incorporate history and non-playable characters into it. I mean, it's just amazing how incredibly versatile it is with the things that you can do with it.
So basically a blank palette for creativity, and creative teachers are taking advantage of that, and they're allowing their students to express their creativity with that blank palette. If you go over to Minecraft.net, you'll find that Minecraft is actually a PC-based game, so if you wanted to just explore it yourself, personally, you can buy it for $26.95. There's some introductory material there. I like the line that they have there. The very first description says, "Minecraft is a game about breaking and placing blocks. At first, people built structures to protect against nocturnal monsters, but as the game grew, players worked together to create wonderful, imaginative things." And I was just looking around the internet a little bit. I can click on the right link. Here's an example of something someone built with Minecraft. It's a Babylonian city, and it's, you know, massive in its in the model's ability to show the city. You can go inside these buildings. I think you can even shoot video to take a tour of buildings and things. So just to kind of give you a tiny idea of some of the kind of structures that people have built using these electronic Lego blocks, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And it's very inexpensive. You know, like you said, the commercial version, the retail version of it is only $27. And the hardware that you need to run it, you don't need to have a very robust piece of hardware to run this. This doesn't have to run on a gaming PC or anything like that. I have a 4-year-old MacBook that it's running on, and it works just fine. I don't have any issues with it whatsoever. You know, and then the other part of it is that it's Java based, so it doesn't even have to. You know, it runs Mac, it runs Windows, it'll run on Linux, anything that Java is a platform for, you can run it on. So it really lowers the bar of entry for getting going with Minecraft and running it on the PC. Which, you know, is totally cool.
So there's two ways you can play this PC version, basically. You can play in the creative mode, which is just building things, just kind of experimenting. You have all different kind of blocks at your disposal, and you can just build and be creative. Or you can play in survival mode, which is more... there's bad guys, there's zombies and skeletons that come and attack you at night, and you need to be in a safe survival place and things, and have adequate light and things like that, or the bad guys will get you in the dark or whatever. So that's kind of my take on it, at least. Two different ways to play Minecraft.
Yeah, you really are getting two games in one. You know, with the retail version of it anyways, you do get those the two games in one. But then, you know, in addition to that, what a lot of schools have been using is a special version of Minecraft called Minecraft EDU. And what that is it's basically it's a special version that's particularly made for education. So you can only purchase this software if you are if you're connected with a school. It's not regularly available to just anybody to be able to do it. And this one is even less expensive. The server is only $41. And then if you buy 25 clients, I think it's something like it's less than $400 to get 25 people up and running with your
right.
with your server in Minecraft EDU, which
so it's $335.
Right, $335. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And that's a perpetual license, so you don't have to buy that over and over again. So you get all the updates and everything like that that goes along with it. A very active development community, which is really awesome. And then you get a third version of the game called Minecraft EDU, which takes kind of some of the elements of the creative mode and some of the elements of the survival mode and kind of combines them together. So you know, with creative mode, your blocks break instantly when you click on them. Whereas when you're working in survival mode, they don't break instantly. You have to use the right tool in order to be able to break it and get the resources out of it. In the Minecraft EDU, you don't have health and hunger, so you can't get hurt like you can in the survival mode. But you have to use the right tools to get the resources. You have to find things, and you still have to build things to put them together. So it's kind of a middle ground. And where that also is really useful as far as from a teaching perspective is it gives you as the teacher, when you log in, you get special powers. So you can, and I love special powers. That's my favorite part of the whole
thing. Yeah, I can see. This is all about you, Jason.
This is all about me and the special powers that I have. Yeah. I can teleport students. I can lock them in place if they are not doing something that I like. I can give them stuff because, you know, I feel like Santa Claus and stuff like that. So I always enjoy doing that kind of thing. But you know, we use this version to kind of work together and collaborate and communicate and just come up with some really cool stuff. It's just amazing to me to see what these kids have been coming up with when we've been working in this.
Awesome. So just a little more about the technical side of it. As you are purchasing this, then you need a computer to install it on, and it's just available there on your local network. You're not putting your kids in an environment out on the web to do this. Is that right?
Well, yeah, you can, and we have I have two servers set up right now, and they're both available publicly on the internet, but you can't access it unless you have a specific version of Minecraft EDU. So I have ours kind of locked down. So that, I mean, we don't have just random people coming in there. And honestly, I'm the only one who accesses it over the internet because I don't want to have to do all of my Minecraft stuff up at the office, because I don't know. It just looks a little weird, I think, if they send my video games. I'm supposed to be working. I really am working, I promise. But you know. So, you know, we have and as far as the technical side, you know, on the server too, you don't need anything super robust. You can just run it off of a standard desktop. I have one of my servers running just off of a Pentium 4. You know, it's a 7-year-old machine, and you know, it's got I put 4 gig of RAM in there, I think, and it runs just fine with 25 kids on it. So you don't need the bar of entry as far as the hardware is concerned is not very high. You can use this on old equipment, and you should have just a fine experience with all of this.
Excellent. I want to jump, Jason, to your experience. I think you've done this kind of with your students in a camp light setting, maybe, and I'm just curious as to what you did as you introduced Minecraft EDU with your students. First of all, I'm guessing maybe they were familiar with Minecraft before you started, or was there a learning curve to get them up and running?
So yeah, that's kind of a cool story, and really speaks a lot to the leadership in my district and how they're just willing to let me just run with stuff, which is just totally awesome, so much fun. The way that it started was I was approached a little over a year ago by a group of sixth graders. It must have been 15, 20 of these kids, and they just cornered me in a conference room, and they said, "We want to do Minecraft." And it's like, "Well, why?" And they're like, "Oh, because you got to do stuff." And I'm just like, "All right, well, what does that mean?" And we kind of, looked into it a little bit more, and that kind of got my interest, because they were so excited about this. I did a little bit more research and found Minecraft EDU, and I was like, "Oh, this is perfect, and this is not very expensive." So, I wrote a grant and I got it. So, I did all of the background work. I set it up, and last summer we ran a camp where it was basically we started at 12:30 and we went until 4, and I had 24 kids in six. I think I started in sixth and seventh grade, in a room for 3.5 hours, and we played Minecraft for 4 days. It was just amazing to see the kinds of things that they did and what they came up with. I set up tasks for them, and they'd go and they all kind of had their own little spin on it and everything like that, which was totally awesome. But then, my purpose for doing that was to figure out the management piece, because I had no clue how I was going to keep all of these kids on task and on track, and doing the kinds of things that I wanted them to do, and really to turn it into a worthwhile learning experience. So that was a really great learning experience for me to kind of figure out how that whole process works. So we did that. I ran that camp twice. Which was just totally overwhelming, but I had a really good idea about how everything was going to go by the end of the second week. And then to kind of continue on with that, and now that I've got it figured out for myself, how was I going to get it figured out, get other people to figure it out, and get buy-in from my teachers, because that's really where it belongs, is not outside of class, but inside class. So this past year, I've been running a club on Friday afternoons. I did this with fifth and sixth graders. I got 24 kids, because that's all that I could take. I have a waiting list of six. And then we meet on Friday afternoons after school. We start at 3:10, we go till 4:30, and they're always super disappointed when the time is up. And we're doing stuff in Minecraft. We're building models of things that they're talking about in school, and we're doing social experiments. We're modeling things after books and things like that. And the kids are just pumped. They're just so excited about it and having such a great time. It's been a great learning experience for me. I don't know about them, but I've certainly learned a lot.
Yeah, and I would guess a lot of this has them working together, forming friendships, collaborating, maybe performing different roles on the team. I know when I watch my boys play together, they're constantly communicating and depending on each other and that kind of thing, which is always a positive thing to get students engaged and that are engaged and excited to work together and complete tasks, towards a common goal and that kind of thing. I understand that you're also working with some other school districts that are doing Minecraft as well on a really cool project, Jason.
Yeah. So there are a couple of other districts in Nebraska that are kind of working on something similar, and we all kind of developed our thing independently and then found each other and were like, "Hey, we should work together on this. Mm-hmm. This would be really cool." Between my school district, a school in Lincoln, which is about 50 miles away from us, and then another school in Kearney, which is halfway across the state, the three of us are working together on building a model of the state capitol. So hopefully I will see how it goes by the end of the year. But our goal is to build a model of the state capitol. And then the other really cool thing about Minecraft EDU is you can put in things like links. So we'll have virtual tours and videos and things like that people would be able to go into the model and find these things and then learn more about the state capitol and kind of go on a virtual tour in Minecraft. It's kind of the objective of the whole thing by the time we're done. So it's going to be really a cool experience. We just started on the project about a couple of weeks ago, making really good progress, and you know, we'll just see where it goes from here. So really excited to see how it turns out.
So are they able to work on this only in that Friday afternoon time slot, or can they log in and work on it from home, or how does that work?
They could hypothetically log in and work on it from home. I haven't done anything with that quite yet. I may get to that point a little bit later on, but parents think that they waste enough time with Minecraft that, you know, I don't want to encourage it, I guess, if it's part of a school project. But we're definitely exploring that as an option, and you know, I'll see. I got to feel out my parents on that one. Make sure that they're going to be okay with it.
Makes sense. Okay, so what have you learned in the process besides, you know, that whole management aspect of it? What have you learned about your students and as you've watched them, what kind of revelations have come about?
Well, it's some of the biggest things that I've gotten out of this whole experience is that, it's just incredible kind of the way that kids interact with each other. I've got a lot of different groups of kids in this club that wouldn't necessarily associate with each other under normal circumstances, but they have this kind of common thing in common. Mm-hmm. And you know, by doing that, they have an opportunity that they have. There's a framework then that they can talk to each other, and kids that would not normally have developed friendships are, you know, getting together on the weekends and not necessarily doing Minecraft. You know, I had one pair of kids that were so excited that they were, he was bringing one of the other kids from the club to a Renaissance fair. And this is not this is the
typical thing.
Total polar opposite kids. And they're hanging out together doing these kinds of things. You know, it's just amazing. So much fun to see that. And just the excitement and the engagement that they have. You know, they're just dialed in. And by the time we get done with that hour and 15-minute block, they're just no, I'm still in the middle of something. I don't want to stop.
How he called it a block, folks. He's just totally got this block thing on the mind.
Totally didn't even notice. That was funny.
And, I guess the other side of it is that it's such a blank palette, such an area where they can be creative. I'm guessing you don't have to give them a lot of direction. You kind of watched it unfold, I bet.
No, and honestly, the best part of it is that, like, you'll get the best stuff out of them when you give them fewer guidelines. The more I let the kids run with it, and the more I just say, you know, hey, here's what we're doing, go nuts, and they love every minute of it, which is so cool. They just get so interested and dialed in on what they're doing that they just come up with just some amazing things. So it is really a lot of fun to see kind of how they do it and how they run with it and what ends up coming out of that. If you go to our BadgerCraft website, there are some projects that we've done. I think you might be able to find a video of a roller coaster that one of my kids made. And then they also, one of their tasks was to do self-portraits, and this was my favorite project. I loved this one. So you can kind of see a slideshow of some of the things that the kids did there. Made scale models of themselves. So, you know, some of the content that we did in there, we had, we talked about the scale and proportion and, taking measurements and translating them from one scale into another. And yeah, this one, Michael's is really good. He's sticking his hand out and sticking his thumb up, so giving us a thumbs up. Lots of really great things that have been going on with this, and just letting the kids run with it. It's been really a lot of fun to see how everything comes out.
Excellent. I think if I could, I'd probably have three boys volunteering to to move to Omaha and be in your class. So maybe four boys. I might include the big one too. But anyway, I think the kids are definitely having a great experience, and that has a lot to do with the gifts that you bring. So that's kudos to Jason for that. Jason, I bet you have something new and exciting on the horizon. Summer plans, maybe a new camp. What's up with what's new for you?
Well, you know, I'm gonna have to offer the Minecraft camp again, just because it was such a popular thing last year that you know, I can't not do that again. So that'll be on the list of things to do this summer. But I'm actually super excited. I got a different grant for the summer. I'm gonna do a hacker camp. Which is going to be so much fun. I'll bring in old computers, and kids will tear them apart and put them back together, and then you know, I'll have them build them out with Windows or Linux or whatever it is we feel like putting on them. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. And then I've got a bunch of Raspberry Pis. So we'll do a little bit of computer science programming things with those, and kind of tweak that and make that do what we want it to do. So super excited about the next phase, I guess we could say. And you know, you can run Minecraft on a Raspberry Pi too. So maybe
there
we'll
you
do
go.
That too.
A little Minecraft eye. So what age group will be in your hacker camp? Is that sixth grade as well, or?
This one, I'm going to gear this more towards junior and senior high. So,
okay.
You know, I'll have a group of kids, probably I'll do 7 to 9, and then I'll do another group of kids that are 10 to 12. And we'll probably focus on different things, you know, maybe the high school kids would be more along the lines of, you know, use the Raspberry Pi to set up a Christmas light show to music and have that kind of as the controller or something like that. So we may go a little bit crazy with the high schoolers, but we'll just have to wait and see what the kids bring to the table.
Awesome.
Let them go and run with it and see what happens.
You'll have to keep us informed. We want to hear how it goes, for sure.
Yep, we'll be blogging about that, that's for sure.
Awesome. Well, thanks for educating us all on Minecraft and Minecraft EDU, and be curious to hear if any other Wells Techers are considering it as a classroom activity or a club activity or a summer camp or whatever. Let us know your experience, and we can learn together about engaging students with this creative platform. Good stuff. All right, Jason, I think we should move right along to our tips of the week. Do you have a tip of the week to share this week?
Yeah, actually, my tip of the week, I haven't heard much about Evernote lately, so I want to bring that one. I want to bring that one up again. You know, I'm notorious. I'm terrible with paper. I lose it everywhere. So my Evernote is my buddy. If it's something that I need to save and something that I have to hang on to, then I put everything in Evernote. So I have a couple of different ways that I do that. If I have something handwritten that I need to save, Evernote will, the app will allow me to take a picture of it, and it actually does the word recognition on it, which is super useful. I really love that feature.
So that makes it probably searchable with word recognition. Is it searchable then?
Yes, it is.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that's part of the free version too, so I don't even have to pay to be able to get that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it kind of puts you lower in the queue for the OCR, but I haven't noticed much of a difference with that. So that's a really handy and powerful feature. And you know, it'll do the same thing with like whiteboard notes or things like that. Any kind of a picture you take, it'll do the text recognition on there, which is really handy if I ever need to find something. And then the other way that I get content in there is we have email quotas in our storage quotas in our email, so I am constantly having to delete things and get rid of them. And you know, if it's something that I think I may need to use later on in the future, I can just forward an email to my Evernote upload, and then it puts it into a notebook for me, and then I can take care of it from there. So that takes attachments too. So any attachments that I need to keep handy or anything like that, or just upload them into Evernote, shoot an email to my Evernote upload. It's added to my notebook, and then I can deal with it when I need to. So that's my kind of tip of the week, is use other tools to get your information into Evernote, and then access it later when you need it.
Excellent. Very good. So it's not just the traditional methods. You can get it in there all different ways.
Very good. That's exactly right.
All right. My tip of the week actually ties back to a tip of the week that I shared not too long ago. And that was, you know, kind of uncovering the man behind the curtain, and how I know about so much stuff is because I read The Help. And so today I just want to encourage you, if you're interested in Minecraft EDU, to do some digging, because on their website, you can get a link to their wiki. I'll include it in our show notes as well. There's a Minecraft EDU wiki. There's also a forum using Google Groups. So between those two things, if you're new to this, this might be a good place to start as a teacher. I noticed there's one page specifically dedicated to teaching with Minecraft EDU, and they kind of go through different things you could teach: history and geography lessons, languages, mathematics. There's sample videos, so people kind of walk through and demo how they taught these different subject areas using Minecraft. So that's kind of my tip, is hearkening back to one previously, but with a Minecraft twist to it. So check out the Minecraft wiki. Perfect. And I will keep going then and move right into our picks of the week. And this pick of the week is, again, Minecraft-centric, and not because I knew what to offer as a pick of the week. Instead, I asked my son, who's a Minecraft expert, if I really wanted to learn and see what Minecraft's all about. He says, oh, you have to go to this guy's YouTube channel. His name is Paul Soares Jr., and he has a YouTube channel, and he does a video series, and he's done it for quite a while apparently, called Survive and Thrive. So this is a good place to start, and the one in particular that I'll link to is about that survival mode where the bad guys come out at night. And so he walks you right through getting logged in, going into survival mode, harvesting some blocks to build a shelter so that you have a safe place to be at night. It's about a 15-minute video, and if you're just curious at all, this is probably a good one to watch to get a feel for how Minecraft works and what the environment's like. There's cows mooing and pigs oinking, and you just go kind of chop down a tree to get some wood blocks to start building with. So that's how far I got, guys, but this is coming from a Minecraft expert, that this is a good video to get you started. So check it out if you're interested in learning more about Minecraft environment and thus brainstorming and learning ways to use it in your classroom. That's my pick.
I hadn't heard of that one, so that's good. I'm going to have to check that one out.
All right.
My pick is also Minecraft related, because, you know, I just totally love Minecraft. So when Sally and I were talking about this show and doing our planning, I mentioned this, and she said, oh, my boys are totally moving to Omaha because they want to be a part of this. But another project that I'm kind of working on with my kids is something called Mineways. So you've heard of Shapeways, and if you haven't, Shapeways is a 3D printing service. So you can send them your model, and they'll print it out, and then just whatever the cost of the materials and the shipping is, and then, of course, whatever their margin is. So, you know, anywhere from $5 to $10 or $150, whatever it is that you print, you know, you can have them print it for you and ship it to you. So what we're going to be doing is you can actually build your model in Minecraft and then export that model using a little program called Mineways. It's free, and then have that 3D printed, which is so cool. So we're going to be working with something like this to build some models and then export those into a format that we can get with a 3D printer. So I'm working on that 3D printer part of it right now. We'll see what we can do with that. But, you know, you pick the model, it generates it, and then you can get a physical model of it built based on the model that you put together in Minecraft, which is super cool. So super excited to check that one out. It's called Mineways. Kind of like Shapeways, but with mine in front of it. And that is my pick of the week.
Okay, so that's super cool. But the part that I really latched onto, and you just subtly mentioned there, is the concept that you may actually have a 3D printer in your school district. You're working toward that, at least.
I'm working on it, yeah. I have a glimmer of hope, so we'll see where it goes.
That would be so sweet. We're going to follow that for sure, too, Jason. You'll have to keep us informed.
I'm super excited. We'll see how it goes.
All right. Well, thanks very much for all your contributions. We're going to let you go and get back to the rest of the show, and we really appreciate you being here.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. I'm super excited about it. I use that phrase all the time, but I really totally mean it.
Great. Thanks, Jason.
Yep. Thanks, Allie.
All right, folks. That was our friend Jason Schmidt, and I really do, as I said, appreciate that he was able to join me so I didn't have to do this show solo. So we'll finish up, though, with just me and some interesting things, community feedback, that kind of thing that I have to share with you. So starting with item of interest, and this is our upcoming Final Web training. So for those of you that are new to Final Web and what Final Web is, it is our web hosting partner. It's a company actually out in California that hosts websites and has an online content management system specifically for them. And they have been doing it with Wells since about 2005, I believe. So for quite a long history, and over 600 Wells congregations, schools, and other entities use it for their website platform. So we've worked very closely with Final Web in the development of their products. They have new things. They have live streaming. They have responsive website design, all kinds of enhancements regularly coming out of their engineering group and that kind of thing. So we want to give you face-to-face training. So even though Martin and I are not side-by-side this week, we're going to be side-by-side the last week in July at the Center for Mission and Ministry in Waukesha, Milwaukee area, Wisconsin, to teach 4 days of Final Web training. So you can come on July 29th for a full day of Final Web for Teachers, which is really geared towards your classroom website and the kind of content that teachers need to share with their students and parents for their classroom. And then we'll have 3 days of Final Web for Dummies, starting on July 30th and going through August 1st, we'll kind of cover it from top to bottom. So we'll start with the basics and we'll poke at all the different functionality that's part of a Final website and the management capabilities that are there. We'll be demonstrating live streaming techniques, building web pages, putting photos online, putting audio and video online, working with your menu system, working with your email system. So you'll have email at your domain name. All of those different things are part of this training. You'll walk away with a manual of resources to assist you when you go back to your church or school as you work through that. The training sessions are independent of each other, so you can come just for a single day of the dummies, or you can come for all three. You can come just for the teacher's days. Single days cost $49, or if you do all three of the dummies, that's $129, a discount rate. And that includes lunch, a continental breakfast, and some snacks throughout the day as well. So come and spend a few days with Martin and I and beef up your church or school website in the process. There are links all over this page to get registered online. So we encourage you to do that. It tends to sell out and fill up very quickly. So now's the time to make those summer plans July 29th through August 1st. All right. We will move then on to community feedback, and just a few things to share this week, starting with a couple of emails that we received here at the podcast. The first one actually is from a Google Plus comment. So on our Google Plus page, Clarence Chapman commented about our last podcast topic. Last week, Martin and I talked all about live streaming your podcast, your worship service, and we had Steve Zambo join us and give video techniques and tips and things. So just very video-centric discussion last week. And apparently it was perfect timing for Clarence and his congregation. He said that his church just achieved the necessary funds to install a camera system with a TriCaster and two cameras. So he got some great tips from our shows, and he'll be sharing that with his tech team as they make decisions about that big purchase that they're doing. And just a super exciting time for you, Clarence. I'm really glad with the timing of the podcast, because we definitely updated our notes and links so you would have the most recent cutting-edge resources available to you. So I hope they are a help to you. All right, next up, we had an email from Matt Detman, who's a member of Fount of Life in Colorado Springs. And Matt wrote, and I thought this was a super common kind of thing that happens in congregations. A member set up their website there and set it up on the WordPress platform, which is a great platform for website content management. And unfortunately, then there was turnover. People leave congregations, whatever, and some people are left kind of holding the bag trying to figure out if they can do the WordPress site maintenance and that kind of thing. Do we keep going with the platform that's here? Is it set up the best way? Do we move to something different? And so Matt's question specifically was, do we as the Wells Tech Podcast support or offer help for congregations and schools on the website, the WordPress website platform? And unfortunately, we just don't have the resources to be able to do that. We actually use WordPress for our show notes website. I think it's an excellent platform. And if you have the people with the know-how or the ability to search and find resources and read and watch videos and things to learn it themselves, then it's certainly a great platform. But we do offer the Final Web Support. That's the company that we've kind of partnered with. And the thing about going with a resource like Final Web is that there is that continuity. There's a community of people, and there's invested resources to supporting that. And Final Web themselves has great support. So Final Web's kind of a different tool. WordPress is more, here's the software, do it yourself. Do what you want with it. You can't really call someone up at WordPress and, you know, get immediate support or that kind of thing. Not in the same vein as actually going with a vendor to host your site. They are actually responsible for supporting you as well. So in addition to the Wells support, Final Web support system is there as well. So just kind of six of one, half dozen of another. You definitely can build a fabulous website with WordPress, as you can with Final Web. Another question that Matt had was specific to audio and video hosting. They were wondering about format and the best place to host those kind of files. And in response to that, I would definitely recommend hosting on either or both Vimeo and YouTube. Both systems are out there and available for easy upload of different file formats. They make your video available in different formats so that they will play on all different types of devices, so you're not locked into a format that doesn't work on a particular device like an iPhone or whatever. In addition, you're getting your video out there where it might be discovered by the public. So it's not just on your website, but also out there and discoverable. So you may gain some followers of your video feed in that way. Final Web does allow you to host your videos on their site, but even for Final Web customers, I think it's better for them to host elsewhere and just embed the video on their site. Why go down that path if there are vendors out there like Vimeo and YouTube that exist for hosting videos and do it very well? So that would be my recommendation. Probably a pro account on Vimeo might be a good way to go if you want to host a large video archive, or really any video archive, because the files just are super large and tend to add up quickly. So just some ideas for you on those fronts, Matt, and hopefully you'll find a good solution for your congregation website. All right. Next up, a quick link from Digo, and that is to something that hopefully will prove to be timely for some of you as you're doing different planning for the Easter season. Obviously, we're in Lent right now, but Holy Week is not far away, and I'm pointing now to Free Bible Images and the resources they have available for Easter. So you may be looking for some resources for different presentations or slides that you might be preparing, maybe a children's Easter program or something like that. And they actually have images, photographic images, as well as illustrated Easter stories available, and you can download these and use them in a ministry context completely royalty free. So there's quite a few of the stories of Easter week, Holy Week, covered here on Free Bible Images. So check out the link in the show notes if you're looking for this type of resource and make use of it in your congregation. Also, just to point out that Wells Tech has a Pinterest board, actually a couple of them, but the main one that we have is just you're welcome to pin things there, ask to be a member of it and pin things there or whatever, and you'll find things pinned there that have to do with ministry and technology. So in particular, the last two pins that are on the board point to, first of all, group of images, slides that someone developed for Holy Week. I thought they were well done, and they're actually available for sale on a website called Creation Swap. I hadn't heard of that before, but it I believe is, and I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's all Christian media that's available. Some of it for free, some of it for sale. Just a lot of different media resources available there, including print and video, still graphics, all kinds of things that you could use with projection or whatever it may be. Then the other item that's pinned on our Wells Tech board is a link to a Lifehacker article. It's titled "The Best Raspberry Pi Accessories," and this was just kind of a call from the community to the community to submit photos and things of things they're doing with the Raspberry Pi. If you haven't heard of Raspberry Pi, they describe it as a fantastic device. It's a really small computing device, runs the Linux operating system, and connects to VGA monitor or whatever. It has a network connection. It has a USB port, and you can basically use it as a full-fledged computer, and I think the price is around $25 to $35 for the Raspberry Pi. So they were just asking people to show how they're using it, what kind of accessories they've done, and they've added things like touch screen or adding a camera board to the Raspberry Pi so you can use it maybe time-lapse photography or home surveillance. Just different ways of communicating with the Pi, a small keyboard, a little trackpad that would work with the Raspberry Pi, all kinds of ideas here if you're a Raspberry Pi user or looking at doing some fun experiments. I know Jason mentioned with his hacker camp this summer that he's got some Raspberry Pis coming. They're going to be building things. So kind of unlimited the kind of things you can build with a Raspberry Pi. So check it out if you have a Pi or if you're interested in convincing someone to get you a Pi or that you need a Pi. Perhaps you can get some more ideas here on this Lifehacker article. So that's going to do it for community feedback. I do want to invite you and encourage you to be part of the Wells Tech community by letting your voice be heard. Tell us what you're doing in your church or school or personal ministry efforts using technology, and you know, give us the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'd love to hear, even if it's not the most favorable review, we'd like to hear from you with your ideas, websites that are helpful, hardware, software, whatever it may be. And if you go on over to our website, wellstech.wells.net, you'll see all different ways to communicate with us. We have a presence on Google+, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Digo, and of course you can leave a comment right on the show notes page, or you can actually just click a link on the website to send us a voicemail. We'd love to play your voice on the Wells Tech podcast as well. So please do join the conversation. Obviously, we learn so much from each other, and it makes the podcast so worthwhile to include your ideas in it, not just Martin and I coming up with things to share with you guys. So please do join the conversation. Next week on Wells Tech, thankfully, Martin will be back by my virtual side. He'll be back in his office at the Center for Mission and Ministry, joining me to discuss a recent conference I was able to attend. It was the Christ in Media Mobile Phone Outreach Conference. It was held at Bethany Lutheran College this past weekend, and I got to go into the Bethany studio and shoot some video interviews with some of the attendees there. Just super excited about what I saw at the conference. I don't want to give too much away, but there were all different age groups represented and some young minds with some exciting ideas and lots of zeal for doing outreach using mobile phones in mission settings. So join the fun. Wow, I probably interviewed 8 to 10 to 12 people, so you don't want to miss all the great conversation that went on at the Christ in Media Conference. So that will be next Tuesday, April Fool's Day, April 1st, 2014. Tune in to Wells Tech. You can join us live at wellstechlive.wells.net at 4 p.m. on Tuesday afternoon, April 1st, or you can always check out our show notes, wellstech.wells.net, for the archived version of the podcast. Thanks very much for watching. We'll see you again next week.